powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Well, look at that, Jake and Curtis. The Mariners this time on the other side of a shutout, shutting out the Minnesota Twins 5-0 thanks to six scoreless from Logan Gilbert. By the way, I hear that I missed some kind of really fun, like, crown ceremony or whatever for Logan Gilbert. I missed all kinds of good stuff when I was gone. I'm really upset about it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Curtis, do you want to tell Stacy that this is old news? Like,
yeah, that wasn't even this last 2 days. That was like last week. That was like
two starts ago. Like, you're so far behind.
Yeah, you've missed a ton of time over the last.
Literally,
couple
I don't
days.
Even know. Someone said this wasn't even the series opener. I don't know what day it is, you guys. Like, I gotta be really. Honest.
I mean, let's be honest. Stacy's coming back from a
finale.
Come on, Stacy. Oh, sorry. She's coming. Have grace.
Series
she's coming
opener.
Back from. You know, taking some time off, couple
I'm be
days.
Like the Mariners in the season opener today, yeah. Taking out the
well
Twins.
Rested. I mean, I'm sure the wedding that you went to go celebrate. You know, one of your friends.
It was wonderful.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Had a great time.
There was a really weird moment where we are just. Of the age, we're in our early 30s, so there's a lot of people that are married, so I didn't realize that they did this at weddings, but they do this thing where they're like, all the married couples hit the dance floor after the...
They do?
Apparently. After the main couple dances, which
seems
adorable.
Seems very exclusionary.
Exactly. Then the bride and groom dance with their parents, which was also adorable, beautiful, and then they called all the married couples. I'm not kidding when I say the people remaining, including me, were like single-digit people. I was like, I'm going to get a drink. That's ridiculous. What is this? Absurd.
I'm going to go get a drink.
Yeah, that was horrible. Oh,
no.
No, it was a blast. I love weddings.
Look, we missed you terribly.
You did. Curtis is weirdly quiet, though. We're not really saying anything over there.
You know, I'm just so busy back here.
Noticing the control room kind of quiet.
Yeah. No, we missed you terribly. And, you know, the thing is you didn't have to talk about the team going 1-3. On their homestand, what you get to come back for is a very nice win.
Oh, I came back and I was like, what happened with the Red Sox?
Yeah.
How was that series? What happened there?
Oh, we don't need to talk about it.
But
what we can focus on is the fact that Logan Gilbert is securely the ace of the Mariners staff. This show has dubbed him the ace of the Mariners staff. And we'll get into that later on at 10:45. But he was fantastic. And then, you know, one of the things that you point to with this team, and we had a really cool conversation. Stacey, you weren't there yesterday with Shannon Traer and Gary Hill.
I mean,
Hill.
We had like 4 hours of cool conversation.
Oh, no, I mean, again, like they probably weren't as cool as they would normally be if the three of us were together. But.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, I don't know, debatable.
Oh, but, interpretation.
But
I'm interpreting it right.
Here is the thing I wanted to get to is that the Mariners, Stacey, for all of their offensive statistics, it would blow you away how well they grade out in comparison to Major League Baseball in 99% of their statistics.
Yes, I'm sure it would.
Top 10, top 15 in nearly every single statistic, except for one, where they are clearly at the bottom, which is slugging. And that has shown up time and time again. And yes, you could point to clutch hitting and timely hitting, runners in scoring position, but when you got runners in scoring position, their batting average is still really good. So why are you not driving in runs? Because you got guys on second and you're hitting singles, or you're walking and you're not driving in runs with home runs or doubles, right? And so that has been a big problem with this team, and I believe it will continue to be a trend with this team until they get healthier. But last night, oh, I think Ty France and Eugenio Suarez heard what we were talking about and said, oh, you want slugging? Oh, I'll give you slugging. Let's go to cut number two. Let's hear a little
from
slugging.
Ryan, and here she comes. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to left field. Larnick going back, looking up, and goodbye baseball. It lands into Edgar's Cantina. Eugenio with a two-run home run. Here in the bottom of the fourth inning with Julio aboard, it's the Mariners 2 and the Twins nothing.
Oh, Stacey, that wasn't the only one. Let's go to cut number three.
Number two in hits. Here's the pitch. Ty with a swing and a drive. Deep to left field. Back she goes. And goodbye, baseball. Into the Minnesota Twin bullpen. Ty France with his 10th home run of the year. And he picks up RBIs 40 and 41 with one swing of the bat. And the Mariners now have a 4-0 lead over the Twins here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Holy smokes, he jumped on that first pitch from Joel Ryan, and he clocked it way out of here to left field.
Stacey, it is amazing what can happen for you when you get a little bit of slugging going your way.
Yeah. No, it has been phenomenal to watch these guys continue to deliver, which brings me to what I was thinking about yesterday. So I revisited, this is in part driven by Jesse Winker being out of the lineup, which, by the way, let me tell you guys, he's back in the lineup today. Lineup out 5 minutes ago. You got Frazier, France, Rodriguez, Suarez, Winker, Moore, Torrens, Trammell, Haggerty, Gonzalez gets the start. Yes, J.P. Crawford's still out of it. So, again, we'll revisit that a little bit closer. We got a shortened show today with the pregame starting at noon. But, once again, J.P. Crawford out of the lineup still with flu-like symptoms. Winker back in DH, batting fifth. But what I was thinking is, remember, maybe you don't remember, but you guys know, like, missed connections?
Like on Craigslist?
Yeah. In Craigslist, yeah. Missed connections for anyone under like 25.
I saw you at the airport. You were wearing a hoodie.
And in theory, it's yes. romantic. In theory, it's very sweet. They're always kind of creepy. It's like, I saw you at QFC the other day, and it's weird stuff. But I was thinking of like missed predictions for the Mariners, because I was thinking of Jesse Winker. He's not in the lineup, and just what we thought that he would be, what we were predicting he would be, and had every right to predict that he would be, by the way, given his past production. And it's so interesting to look at how the lineup is right now and where this team is right now, and the contributors that are or are not there for them. So, for instance, with the Jesse Winker trade, Eugenio Suarez hits a two-run bomb yesterday. He's leading the league, or excuse me, leading the team with 12 home runs. Raise your hand if you thought Suarez would be leading the team in home runs on June 15th. If you're raising your hand, congratulations. Like, I mean, I'm happy for you, but you are in the minority. I can promise you that. I think most people would say they would have thought it was Haniger. Maybe they'd think it was France. I think more people would say Winker over a Eugenio Suarez. Instead, it is Suarez with 12 home runs, including one yesterday. And I was looking back at even this article from 2020 with that trade that landed Ty France in Seattle. Now you look back and you think, Ty France, he should be an all-star this year. Where would this club be without Ty France? I found myself thinking of that the other day. And then I look back at that article from 2020, and it was talking about Taylor Trammell as the star piece of this trade with the Padres. It's all about Taylor Trammell. And Taylor Trammell was a very exciting prospect at the time, and I understand that. And Ty France was like a backup on the Padres, along with Torrens. So I get why that's what was written. And I think 10 out of 10 MLB writers would have covered it that way. But it's so fascinating to look back and realize that the crown jewel was, in fact, Ty France in hindsight. And not only that, but that he has so outperformed expectations of what he could be. And he's been absolutely phenomenal for you. He's your best hitter. Your best hitter right now is a guy that, back in this article in 2020, was mentioned like third. It's interesting to look back at where this club is, where the contributors are coming from, the contributions are coming from, and realize, for instance, Logan Gilbert, who you guys crowned as your ace of the lineup or the rotation, he was projected to be like a mid-level guy in the rotation. And instead, he's looking like an ace.
Yeah. I mean, he's been fantastic. And you mentioned all of those. It is amazing to see kind of the turnaround and some of the expectations of how it's worked out, how it has not. But what I would say as well is that, coming back to that theme of slugging, where this team unfortunately got it wrong in terms of how they put this roster together, they were really relying on Haniger, Jared Kelnick taking the next step. They were relying on Jesse Winker really pulling through for them, right? I mean, Kyle Lewis, eventually he comes up with the team and at some point during the season, and he's really able to provide some legitimate slugging. I look at the way that this lineup was built, and unfortunately, they are slugging deficient. I mean, you have Ty France, Eugenio Suarez, and Julio Rodriguez that really truly possess slugging power and potential that are actually performing, right? Don't give me Jesse Winker. I don't want to hear about Jesse
Winker. Well, no, and that's the thing, is for anyone texting in that it's like, well, Eugenio Suarez is leading the league. No. First of all, his production dropped off. Secondly, let's not pretend that when this trade happened, we weren't all talking about Jesse Winker.
Yes. Jesse Winker was the prize.
That is what was being covered. Curtis, am I wrong? Jesse Winker was the name tied to that trade.
Yes. And Hanover,
I'm not
just
saying Suarez, Suarez was a throw-in.
Suarez was the Mariners giving the Reds salary relief. That's what it was, because the Mariners had money to spend, and they were like, look, we'll take this guy off your hands that hasn't produced in a couple of seasons. We'll see if there's something here, and there clearly has been something here, and because Suarez has been what you expected and more.
Yes, exactly.
And also Haniger, you know, had 37 home runs last year, and you're hoping that he's going to be healthy and be able to bring some of that production with you. And so I look at the expectations or the mispredictions of what we had with these Mariners, and, you know, it is cause for a very bumpy, shaky beginning to the season. And the question is, Stacey, can some of those mispredictions start to be, can they turn at this point of the season and start to become some of the right predictions? Because I look at Robbie Ray and, you know, that so far to start the season, that has been a misprediction. But he has made some changes, made some adjustments, started throwing in his two-seam fastball to adjust to get to the outside part of the plate instead of working so heavily on the inside part of the plate. And it worked out well for him. He was able to get, you know, his best start as a Mariner the other day. So can you see some of these adjustments? Can the team get healthier? Can they start to hit more on some of the predictions that were there for them at the beginning of the year? And they're going to need to. They have an opportunity for a rubber match tonight against the Twins that hopefully they can take advantage of. But in reality, the opportunity that's in front of them starts tomorrow when you've got the Angels for a five-game series, and then you go the A's, and then you've got the Orioles, and then the Angels and the A's again. I mean, that is your opportunity at the end of the month to really start to get things going in the right direction for your club. And some of these mispredictions up to this point have got to start to turn into accurate predictions.
It's kind of like a twofold. You can look at it as being frustrated by the guys that aren't contributing, like Jesse Winker. And then you can also look at it as a bit of a silver lining with you never know where their production is going to come from. So, for instance, Logan Gilbert is a perfect example. I'm glad we're kind of focusing on him throughout the segment as a Suarez of, like, if you feel like hope is lost sometimes with your lineup, sometimes contributions and excitement can come from an unexpected source. And I don't mean like randomly Dylan Moore has a 3-for-4 game. I mean like a guy comes in like Suarez. A guy comes in who was 2 years removed from a shoulder injury, who hadn't really had that same pop, hadn't been able to return since the shoulder injury, and suddenly he is for you in a park that's not very hitter friendly. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I know that there are people that are like, I saw this coming. But, like, that is that I think for the Mariners has been a very pleasant benefit of this trade. Like, a thing of, like, thank goodness Suarez has bounced back from that injury.
At least one aspect of this trade has worked out, right? Like, at least one aspect of this has worked out, and hopefully you can get Suarez on a hot streak, right? I mean, one of the things that we've seen with Suarez is that, he's been able to produce, and he's produced in spots, but we have not seen him truly get hot and be consistent for a significant period of time. And he could be that slugging bat that really can be a difference maker for you. And obviously we know what Ty France has done. He's going through a little bit of a cool spot for him, but that is in comparison to Ty France. I mean, a cool spot for him is hitting 320 and not hitting 350, right? It is what it is. But I do believe ultimately that this has been really, you know, you could look at the negative side, as you said, but the positive side, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby coming in and stepping in from go and being able to be a, you know, legitimate pro. I mean, there's been some real positives that I think has developed for this team and can set them up for success.
I have been back for 14 minutes already getting yelled at by the Mac and Jack's text line about Suarez. Exactly. That's exactly right. I said what I said. I don't regret it. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, Amazon continuing to add to their Thursday night football coverage, this time with former Seahawks corner Richard Sherman, but Sherm's still leaving the door open for a possible return to playing. What's the real headline?
Richard Sherman found a new path, and he should stay on it. Oh, Richard Sherman, look, no disrespect. I think he is frankly, in my time ever covering this team, the best corner clearly the Seahawks had, and one of the best players I've seen suit up for the Seahawks. In fact, one of the best corners I've seen play in the NFL, and I think revolutionized forget it. Changed.
Revolutionized.
That's what I said. Revolutionized, Curtis. I totally said
it's okay.
It the right
another syllable.
Stacey, you're working your way back.
I'm coming back still. The way that the league viewed, I think, where the personality and face of a franchise could be, right? The idea of that being a defensive back and not this young, exciting quarterback was somewhat new. I mean, he did so much for the league, for Seattle. That being said, I think his playing days are behind him, and it's okay for him to admit that. I get that it's really hard, but like,
yeah.
This is a fun, new, exciting path. Don't worry about coming back and playing, man. I think that that those days are behind you, and it's okay to leave them behind you.
Well, and it's healthy to do so. It's like, I'm just telling you, when you're in between and you feel mentally in between, even when I was doing the radio, we were doing the show. I was in between trying to figure out, okay, do I want to do the, what was it, the AAF and the XFL?
Oh,
there were
the
different times where I find myself in between where what do I do, what do I want to do? And quite honestly, Stacey, it's not a good place to be in because you don't have that clarity and you're not able to shut that part off and say, you know what, I'm good, I'm okay, I've been able to do what I've wanted to do, or at least feel happy about what I've been able to do in my professional football career and move on and move forward. And I believe for Richard Sherman, he's got a bright future ahead of him as an analyst. I mean, obviously he's getting his first gig, his first opportunity out of the gate is going to be on Thursday Night Football with Amazon. And that's going to be a heck of an opportunity for him to really, you know, make a statement about who he is and what he can be in this next, you know, phase of his life. And I hope Richard Sherman really, truly embraces it because I believe he has the potential to be really, really good at this. Not only because he has the personality, but because from my extensive knowledge of Richard Sherman and knowing him behind the scenes and having conversations with him, this is a guy who genuinely knows the game of football inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that he can, you know, really put that forward in a studio role, and I'm excited to see him try to do that.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the Colorado Avalanche and the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning face off in game one of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. What is the real headline?
I miss underdogs. You know how much fun the Super Bowl was? The Bengals didn't end up doing much of anything, but you know why it was so fun? Because everyone was watching it going, are the Cincinnati Bengals
Joe Burrow?
Are they about
Joe
to Scheisty win the Super Bowl? Do you know how much fun it was to cover that team heading into it? There's no way they should have been there. And yet they were. After finishing fourth in the AFC North the year prior, the combination of Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and by the way, that defense, I think, being better than people gave them credit for at times, got them to a Super Bowl. I feel like we didn't get that with the NBA Finals. Not that it hasn't been fine. There haven't been some good playoff games to watch, but I've missed having a finals where there's an underdog that you're just fascinated by, and I didn't get that with the NBA Finals. I'm not getting it with the NHL Finals. Am I alone, or
World
are you guys
Series last year? The World Series last
with the
year
Braves.
Had the Braves.
Yes, correct. I love a classic underdog villain, David and Goliath.
Well,
final.
Colorado is also a ridiculously
That's
good team.
That's what I'm saying.
Too.
The Avalanche were all season long, dominating.
A lot of people have the Avalanche as the favorites
yes
to win this series.
The way that I'm looking at it is much like Boston and the Warriors, where it's like the Celtics were great. I mean, they weren't like completely dominant, nor were the Warriors. But all of a sudden, you've got two teams where you're like, this team wins all the time. This team has been solid and has won a ton previously. Oh, man. Like, I guess rooting for everyone to have fun, I guess.
Well, it is one of those where you do miss underdogs, but
I want a story with my sports. That's all.
But
is that too much to ask?
Come on. At the same time, do you not love to see juggernauts face off? Do you not love to see the best of the best face off?
Because
if you're not going to get the underdog story,
yeah,
then I do want to see the best of the best truly get to a championship and let them duel it out and be able to see, you know, what the sports best have to offer. And I think that that's what you can be excited about when watching the Avalanche and the Lightning here, is that you're going to see two really, really good teams. And yeah, there might not be the plucky underdog, but it's going to be some really good hockey.
Scarier natural occurrence, an Avalanche or Lightning?
Avalanche.
Avalanche.
Avalanche is not even close.
Yeah, Avalanche.
Not
because
even close.
Here's the thing. Lightning,
You can
most
dodge
of the time,
it.
You can't dodge it, well, but it's unlikely to hit you.
Yeah.
Curtis.
An avalanche, you're done.
Takes everything out. Do you know how many survival stories I listen? Do you know how many episodes of I Survived I have watched where someone got stuck in an avalanche? It is terrifying.
But also knowing that you're watching it, you're seeing it happening.
Oh, and if you see it, it's done.
With
if
lightning,
you see it, you are in it.
With lightning, there's nothing you can do. Like, it's just going
to
happen, and you won't even know what hit you.
Yeah.
Like, it's over. It's done.
You are more likely, if there is a lightning storm and if there is an avalanche, you are far more likely to die or get hurt
from
in
the
avalanche than in the lightning storm.
Yes. But I also, if I'm going to have my demise, I'd rather it just be like, gone, instead of having
well,
to
when
watch
there's an
it
avalanche,
happen,
you're gonna be gone
come at you.
Yeah, I think you're underestimating.
No. But you're watching it and seeing it happen, right, before it gets to you. You know it's coming. You have time to think about it. With lightning, there's no time. There's nothing to think about. It's just over. Right?
Poof, you're gone.
I mean, I
do you
want to
sit there
and look at
it and think about your demise as it's going to happen as you're watching it come towards you?
Well, because you're saying an avalanche is more like a tsunami in your mind where you're like, I can see it.
Yes.
And it's coming.
And
I'm
standing there and I'm helpless and I know what's about to happen.
This is the creepier version of like which animal mascot could win in a fight. Now it's like, how would you rather die? Curtis, I don't like where this conversation's gone.
We'll get to headline number three.
You brought us here. You brought us here.
What are we doing here?
Headline number three. Great news, guys.
Mascots are going to be, what animal would you rather be eaten by?
Headline number three, incredible news.
Oh, great.
Washington
news.
Football
That's
finished
right.
with the highest APR score in the Pac-12 for the 2021 season.
Woo!
Let's go. Put a banner
What's
up there.
What's the real headline?
Put a banner up
for
there.
For those who aren't as academically prowessed, that means we're really smart.
Well, at least Good you guys life. Have that going for you.
No,
you.
I don't think so.
Okay,
I think that is way more pumped up than it than
okay.
it is. Our
Curtis.
Battles are really the schools that we go against are way more have academic prowess, like the University of Washington, Notre Dame, yeah, Stanford, yeah. USC.
All
we go
schools.
To we go with a lot of battles,
You're
toe to toe, all the way to
Pac-12.
The end with those schools.
Look,
and
Curtis,
so I think that's made up a lot and pumped up in your
End
world,
it.
In our world.
End
In our
we battle more academically prowess.
Yeah, like the Huskies. Yeah, they got the highest APR score
hurts.
In the Pac-12, but like that's not who you're competing against, right?
Yeah.
You're competing
hope.
Against Notre Dame.
No, I would love it if it was like, all right, here we go, a listening section of the Wassail off.
I hope you are just as embarrassed as I
nope,
am listening
nope,
to that.
Nope,
cut.
I love it. I love it.
I hope
it.
Every Husky fan is
no,
embarrassed
no,
listening
I feel
to that because that
great.
Was
I feel
a
strong,
joke.
I feel powerful.
Absolute joke.
I was just looking for a reason to pull that from Jimmy Lee.
You've been waiting for a while now to
oh,
play
yeah.
that. I mean, that was fantastic.
Did
well
I
done.
Mention I was a double major at the wedding?
Yes. You, well, oh, at the
Probably,
wedding?
Probably.
Did
guessing.
You work that, Stacey? Did you work that into conversation?
It's Jake and Stacey. You're
no,
listening to
did.
Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. The latest from Sean Desai and Carl Scott coming
me.
Your way next.
Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, Jake and Curtis going to take a victory lap. I'm not looking forward to that. Before we get to it, though, the latest from Sean Desai and Carl Scott. Jake, two new guys on the defensive coaching staff that Seahawks fans, I think, are rightfully very excited about.
Well, yeah. I mean, they come in with high regard in regards to their previous stops and the experiences that they've had and the players that they have worked with. I mean, all speak very, very highly of guys like Carl Scott and Sean Desai. And one of the reasons why is because it's not just schematically how smart they are. It is their ability to communicate their schemes and their techniques and trying to help everybody understand their assignment. Because honestly, Stacey, you know, what we have watched the last 4 years is we've watched a lot of hesitancy. We've watched guys not have a true understanding or a lack of mastery of their craft in regards to how they work together and how the defense, whatever scheme that they're playing, 4-3, cover 3, cover 2, cover 4, whatever the coverage is, is having that mastery level of understanding of what my job is and how it correlates to somebody else's job and what the opposing offense is trying to do. And when I was there practicing against the LOB every single day in 2016, 2017, it was amazing to watch the mastery of that defense and to watch those guys work together, to communicate together, to watch them talk after practice and say, hey, did you see what happened here? And hey, Russell did this to me, or I kid you not, or, you know, Earl Thomas, I'll never forget. I got him good one time. One time I got him good in practice, and it was like one of the best days of my life. It was just like, I just fooled an all pro, right? And it never happened again, but I got him once. And he came up to me after practice and said, hey, what were you doing? What were you thinking here? Why did you do it the way you did it? I'm a guy that's trying to crack the roster. He could have been like, whatever, that's one rep. Yeah. Who cares? That rep mattered to him in practice, and he didn't want that to happen to him again. That's how all of them were. Like, I don't think people really realize, yeah, you talk about the talent, but like the onus that they took on, how obsessive they were about trying to be at their best and understand and hone in the defense. And what you saw is guys reading and reacting and playing fast. And what I've seen is a lot of hesitancy. I've seen a lot of thinking, so much to the point where Trey Flowers, after a meeting last year or a game last year, the Minnesota Vikings game, he's going to the media and saying, I've got questions myself. I don't even know what's going on out here.
Shocking.
It was mind blowing.
Yeah.
But guys like Sean Desai and Carl Scott, the hope is, and Clint Hurt, obviously, is to come in and upgrade the teaching, upgrade the level of mastery that happens with these young players, so that with this defense, you have, Stacey, you have guys that are not thinking, that they're reading and reacting and playing fast, because you don't have the luxury to think. If you're thinking out there, then you're going to be slow to the ball. You're going to be slow to react. If you blink for a second, it might be the difference between a completion or an incompletion. It might be the difference between a touchdown or not. And you know, Stacey, if you're thinking, you're blinking out there. And that is just not – you can't have that. You can't have that out there.
Did you just invent that?
I mean, I – yeah.
Thinkers become blinkers.
You let the spirit move, man.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I did just make that up on the spot. I don't know.
Let's get into some of this.
Let's get into some of these cuts
it's
right
true.
Here.
It is absolutely true.
That's a cool catchphrase. Let's start with
thanks, guys.
Carl Scott explaining his catchphrase, thinkers become blinkers.
You see a lot of different things and you come across a lot of different people or whatnot. But, you know, one thing that's prevalent is, you know, if you're thinking too much, if your mind is moving too fast, and usually your feet are not moving as fast as that. So, you know, you get guys that are thinking, just picture it in your head, the guys who think and stay there and kind of start to blink. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? That's not very good on the football field as things are flying around you. So just to me, I just called it what it is.
Jake, that's kind of fortuitous.
What was the timestamp on that cut?
That was yesterday afternoon.
That
can't
be true. 24 hours before you said that.
I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. That happened at 10:40 today.
No, I don't think so. that happened in the future.
Wow.
I did not steal that from Carl Scott. I swear. Uh-huh. I swear I did not see
Jake,
that cut, play it,
we
heard it,
you.
And then try to pass it off my own.
We know you, and we know how you love clever football sayings like tips and overthrows.
Mm-hmm. Got to get those.
There you go.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Thinkers become blinkers. That's
that's good.
Right up that alley.
It's so good.
That was made for Jake.
Oh, I
try to claim it as your own.
I love it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to some other sound here.
But in all jokes aside. But that is 100% true, and I love to hear stuff like that from Carl Scott, because ultimately, that is the goal. That's what you've got to get your players to do, and we will see if they are able to get that job done, because if they can, obviously the talent is exciting.
Carl Scott talking about his coaching style here. We've heard a lot about Sean Desai kind of wanting to be a teacher. Here's what Carl Scott said about himself.
And I almost like to treat everybody as if they know nothing about football. You know, I think when you know, left to assume stuff, you know what they say about that. So I try to treat these guys like they knew nothing and try to coach them from the ground up and kind of giving them the ABCs, the foundation of, you know, defensive play, defensive back play, and then build from there, you know. So I think those guys' skill sets and who they are as people, I have to, you know, approach them differently in a good reason to get the best up out of them. So it is different, but you can name, you know, fill in the blank. Every guy is different.
It's getting a couple people on the Mac and Jack's text line here, by the way, saying it sounds like Carl Scott plagiarized Jake.
I mean, I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure the timestamp says 10:45 today.
Today.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, how do we get that sound?
Honestly,
you guys will be in for a treat 7 minutes from now.
I mean, you guys messing with the multiverse? I'm not sure what's happening here. But, you know, I love to hear this. And the other thing that I really, really like to hear from Sean Desai is, you know, talking about how, you know, in his past, what he has been able to do, you know, to try and make things work. And you know, here in cut number 14, the things that he learned from his experience as being a defensive coordinator.
It's always easy when you're not in that role to say what you would do in that role. And I had the opportunity for a lot of years to do that, right? And everybody does that because you want to grow. But then when you get in the role, you understand the whys behind of why you had to act certain ways in terms of leadership, how you got to communicate. And really, your job is to lead the coaches and the players. And you got to make sure everybody's aligned towards the vision and the outcome that you want to be aligned towards. And so that was a great experience, is to be able to try to get all those guys on that same page. We had pretty much a whole new defensive staff that we were trying to teach our defense to, and then getting them to buy in, and they did a great job. All those guys are great coaches. And then getting that formula passed on to the players.
So these experiences that Sean Desai has that he's bringing now to Seattle and coming to help Pete Carroll and Clint Hurt put together the best possible defense, there are some of those experiences that will help. And Carl Scott and Sean Desai bring in their own unique perspectives, their own unique coaching styles to elevate these players to understand their scheme and master their craft. Because, again, thinkers become blinkers.
Yeah,
and you
trademark,
don't want that.
Trademark.
You do not
Carl.
Want that to happen. Gosh, Carl Scott, that was so
trademarked.
Good. That was so good.
So here's the deal. We have a short
Love
show today
phrase.
Because we're taking you to the Mariners pregame show at noon. So
how
why
many
don't
times
we do,
can I work that?
Why
in?
Don't we do this? If you guys have questions about the Seahawks defensive coaching staff, the defense, most especially the secondary, send those into the Mac and Jack's text line 206-421-3776. Let's take a deeper dive into this tomorrow, and we can address some of these questions. So if you have questions about the defense, we'll get to more of this sound, and we'll talk more defensive backs tomorrow. Send those in, 206-421-3776. I'll collect them. It's Jake and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Jake and Curtis take a victory lap, plus a look at today's Mariners lineup. One big name still missing. That's next.
Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Now, Jake, you just told us thinkers become blinkers when it comes to the defensive back group. And then we played you that sound of Carl Scott saying his catchphrase is thinkers become blinkers. You've accused him of maybe stealing that. I think we've uncovered a huge scandal. And we just had someone on from the 206 says, Jake, my cousin's friend's hairdresser's brother's fiance is an attorney. We can have a cease and desist letter over this afternoon.
Perfect.
Just
Thank
say
you.
The word.
And Seth in Fresno said, I heard Scott talk after Jake, so
that's,
simple math. I mean,
how
put two and two
to
together.
Yep, that checks out.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes, Look. You know, great minds think alike. I don't know what to
that's
tell
exactly
you.
Exactly what it is.
I do... genuinely really really love that, and I love the mindset and the coaching philosophy
we
that
knew you would
these
love that
two guys are coming
it.
In oh so
we
great.
Knew you would you played the bit well.
You know what is great though is that when we make a proclamation about a certain player on this show and they come through for us, you know, Stacey, you have a hard time having this feeling because you
I don't know. I mean,
oftentimes put in bets that never really truly work out
first
for you,
of all,
or,
first
or
of all,
you
first
miss
of all,
by
of all,
a day.
Okay, that's important. I said that J.P. Crawford. I said J.P. Crawford would get a home run. What did he do the next day? He got a home run. I said that Julio Rodriguez would get a two-run home run. What did he do the next day? He got a two-run home run. Curtis, where is the lie? I can make proclamations that come true.
the next day.
The next day.
Not well, the day of.
That's the rule. Like if I say, well, the next day.
You should preface yours with like,
day.
This has a 24-hour expiration date.
Yes. Potentially 48 hours. Yeah, but if I say it, it will come true.
But that's not how this works. But look, Curtis and I, two starts ago for Logan Gilbert, we proclaimed Logan Gilbert the ace of the Mariners staff.
Oh, my God.
We even did a ceremony, Stacey, and you were not here for it. And I know how much that kills you.
Right,
I know that how much it kills you. So I would like to redo the ceremony so you could be a part of it.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. We.
Oh, my God.
The people.
The people.
The Jake and Stacey show. Dub Logan Gilbert, the ace of the Mariners staff. And we feel pretty darn good doing so, because since that moment, Logan Gilbert has done nothing but deal. But done nothing but absolute deal. Do you want to crack at it?
Was that the coronation of Logan Gilbert?
Yeah, it was the coronation. We put the... You didn't see me put the crown
on
his head?
No, I saw it, unfortunately. I saw it.
The Jubilee.
Yeah, yeah, it was the Jubilee. That's
Stacey,
exactly.
Don't act like you're so mad that you weren't a part of this.
I mean, do I love everything royal? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I appreciate you guys doing that. And then he's done nothing but follow through.
So now
through.
You can say that you're a part of the moment, right?
Yeah, I was there. I was part of a historic moment where you guys crowned Logan Gilbert, the ace of the Mariners pitching staff, and he delivered with 6 scoreless yesterday. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It is impressive. And what is amazing about it is we talked about expectations, right? Expectations that have... risen and fallen. Logan Gilbert was obviously a first-round pick, and there was high hopes for him and what he could ultimately be. But the realistic aspect of Logan Gilbert was that maybe he's a third guy in your rotation, right? Like if you're really in your heyday with the Mariners, Logan Gilbert could be number 3, at most number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And what he has shown already in year 2 in this league is that he can grow, he can develop, he can, fix his game on the spot, he can make quick adjustments, and that right now Logan Gilbert has all the makings this year,
yeah,
to be in contention for the AL Cy Young Award if he continues to keep building upon what he's doing, which I'm not going to put any limitations on this guy.
So here's the dealio. If you guys crowned Logan Gilbert, Gilbo Baggins, the ace of the Mariners pitching staff, is there a way that
he's royal? You can't call him that.
Exactly. Is there a way that you could do that with something else and make it come true? Like, I don't know, make Ty France an all-star, or maybe Julio Rookie of the Year finalist. Like, is there something else you guys can do now that I know that you can work this royal jubilee magic?
Curtis, I'm trying to figure out what I would like to use my powers for. What do we want to use our
collective
powers?
I think we should try it again. We should just experiment. I mean, obviously, it has to be something you two both agree on.
I don't think I have the strength yet. I'm still working on these. Like, I haven't honed my skills.
Why
don't
you make Ty France an all-star?
Well, I can't. Ty France an all-star would be better. It'd be an easier task than, like, trying to resurrect Jesse Winker's ability.
How about this one? Why don't you do that with Jesse Winker?
I don't think we're ready for that yet, Curtis. We still have some more training to do.
I think Jesse... Jake,
you got to know your limitations.
I bet you that today, Winker, who's back in the
you
lineup,
still owe us a box of donuts.
Listen to me, will hit not one, but 2 home runs.
Stop it. Stop it. You're lucky he's even in the lineup today.
You don't even believe what you're saying. You don't even believe what you're saying. No way.
Jake, it's going to happen.
No way.
It's going to happen today. But it'll probably happen in the next game.
Oh gosh, I am going
to
use
the entire text line is telling you to use your powers on Winker, Jake. Do it, Jake.
Stacey, I'm telling you, we're not ready for it yet. There is so much that has to be done. Like I
feel like you're not using these powers responsibly.
What I will do is we will use these powers to dub Ty France an all-star already, and then we will say that Julio Rodriguez will win Rookie of the Year this year.
Well,
why don't you turn it
into a royal proclamation?
Well, I mean, Stacey, we're coming up on the.
I mean,
then it becomes
law of the land. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, guys...
Stacey, why don't you make a proclamation? You haven't done anything yet.
Because I can't
carry your weight. What proclamation are you going to make?
I made a proclamation that Jesse Winker would hit 2 home runs.
I honestly
today.
Just want to hear your proclamation voice. That's just what I want to hear.
Harder than it looks.
Stacey Ross, heretofore dictate by the powers vested in me as the eldest of this show.
I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Just
I now
just
pronounce
spit it out
you,
already.
Jesse Winker, a power hitter in the Mariners lineup over the next 24 hours. So let's see if that happens. We'll see if it happens. Thank you, everyone, for coming to this today. All right. What do you desire most for the Seahawks quarterback spot this year?
Feels good, doesn't it?
Or stability? That's next.